This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
This is the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network, and we are back with Season 5, Episode 27, as the New York Rangers have picked up right where they left off against the Washington Capitals tonight in a much-needed win, if everyone remembers the debacle of the last game against the Washington Capitals where we failed to show up. The Rangers currently winning 5-1 with just a few minutes left in the game. So that's another regulation win and 2 points. And Andy and I are finally back. I hope everyone had a Merry Christmas and a happy holiday. And New Year's is right around the corner with the World Junior action too. So Andy, I have to ask you, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm good. I had a very early flight this morning at Illinois time. I had a 5:30 flight, so very tired, but. Also, the holidays are always a whirlwind, a lot of travels always to be expected, but it's been good. It's been, it was nice to see my wife's family. And like you said, it's been nice to have a little break from NHL action, but also have some World Juniors to watch. And, it's nice to see that the Rangers are picking right up, where they left off. I mean, I think this is a pretty good opponent for them to come back to. I mean, much rather play the Capitals in your first game back than to say a team like the Dallas Stars or, we'll see if Kreider can get another goal here. Yes, as James mentioned, we were recording this with literally 3 minutes left in the third period in the game against Washington. Hopefully the Rangers hold this 4-goal lead. Igor looks unbeatable right now, so that's good. Oh my goodness. Oh wow, Jesus Christ. As I say this, the Rangers are literally trying to give them every free look, but Igor's standing tall. So he looks great. Clearly the rest has done the Rangers and Igor Shesterkin a lot of good, because he looks back to his usual dominant self.
Yeah, and the last couple games that he started, he looked pretty good. I think if you look at the Rangers, I don't know if you want to go back even 10 games, but just say five games ago. I mean, really the only game where you're just kind of like, that's a disappointment, where they failed to show up in the third period, was against the red hot, Edmonton Oilers, who, it's one thing for, not to gripe about that game, but, looking back on it, and it wasn't even like the McDavid show. It was, we kind of just let their role players take over the game through hard work and zone entry. And, the New York Rangers were able to clean it up and get a few wins, and a great win against the Buffalo Sabres, to start the break. And then now you come back and you beat up on an opponent who kind of embarrassed you last game, if I'm being honest. So, the fact that the Rangers were able to just really romp them right now 5-1, and it's, looking like it's going to end with that score. So, yeah, it's just, consistency with this team, man. It's doing the same shit game in and game out. And when you're winning, it doesn't get boring, but the grind of an NHL schedule is such a tough thing to go through. And the fact that the Rangers have been this successful, this consistent, really, when they do lose, it's so apparent why they lost, because they just don't do the things that they normally do, whether that's positioning in the defensive zone, they're not closing the gaps and giving, their players too much time coming into our zone, whether it's not, forechecking properly or not getting pucks to the net, trying to get too fancy. It's like all the things that, the bad habits that we've seen over the years, they only creep up, once in a while, once every few periods. And sometimes that can bite you in the ass, and you can play two good periods and still lose the game. But New York Rangers are finding ways to win in regulation. They're beating key opponents. Not only are they beating teams at the bottom of the standings, but they're consistently beating the teams at the top of the standings too. So, the New York Rangers have a lot to be proud of, ending 2023, and hopefully this shit can continue into you know, into the spring, because, you know, we're going to need to be consistent. And although we do have a nice cushion in the standings, I have a feeling that there's going to be some sorting out to do, and teams like Carolina, you know, and even New Jersey are going to, you know, start to figure things out. Although I'm starting to lose faith in New Jersey. You know, I thought they would be a team to figure it out. I am starting to lose faith, and tonight doesn't really help their case, losing to Columbus. At least they were losing when I last looked at the scoreboard. So, Andy, your thoughts, you know, at the closing 2023, your thoughts on the New York Rangers?
I mean, it's pretty crazy to see the transformation this team has taken from the last regime to this one. Seemingly this is a team that, I mean, we can maybe say all we want about their depth or lack thereof. Although, right now it's being tested because they are hurt and continue to get hurt, as we're probably going to get to in our next segment. But I mean, I just don't know if I've ever seen them this comfortable and battle hardened and battle tested. It seems like the longer the game goes without a score, the better they feel about their own game, because they're like, listen, we could just pop one in on the power play. If we need an equalizer, we'll get it somehow. And they just really seem to have that confidence, and it comes to fruition. It's pretty wild. You know what I mean? So, which is pretty crazy considering, you know, you and I have been doing this podcast for 5 years, and the Rangers, this team used to be just very stunted mentally. And if the second things didn't go their way, they would fall apart. But now I feel like, if anything, they give up the first goal, not a problem. They'll get it back. They haven't broken through yet. You know, they don't have a good first period, and there's, you know, they go into the third period tied or this, whatever. It's just, they don't really seem to care. They're pretty confident that they're going to find somebody's going to break through. And I think that's the key. I think, you know, you mentioned the Devils, and I think that's a team that when Jack Hughes is going, they all follow his lead, and they look unbeatable. And he's going through a pretty off stretch for his standards right now. And the rest of them, they all kind of lose the faith. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, if Jack's not going. But granted, you know, Mika Zibanejad and Kreider didn't do jack for the first 2 months of the year until Mika got hot. And right as they got hot, you know, Bred and that second line that was super hot, maybe cooled down a little bit. But it was cool because you had other people, defensemen. And even tonight's game, Trouba goes to the locker room early in the second with an injury of some sort, an upper body, they're calling it. We think it was suspected an elbow, you know, a collision with Tom Wilson near the net, as my cat is mewing. But it seemed like the second Trouba went down, you'd think it would make them panic. But then it seemed like everyone stepped up, especially Miller. All of a sudden, he's like, well, I'm just going to play forward for the rest of the night. And he was just... he activated, and he basically started taking the game over. So I think that's the difference between the Rangers and a lot of the other teams in the National Hockey League. It's that they have belief in their structure and their team and their system, and they just don't get rattled, which clearly it works, because I think there are some teams that they either just flat out dominate teams, or if they lose, they lose spectacularly, where I think the Rangers are just... You know, I think honestly, the Rangers look the same almost against every team they play, for better or worse. You know what I mean? It's like they never really get, outside of, you know, what, two games this year, maybe you could say, they never really get embarrassed, but they look the same against the Boston Bruins as they do against, like, the Seattle Kraken. You know what I mean? Which is probably a good thing if you think about it.
Well, yeah, that means, you know, they're sticking to their game plan, and they're playing exactly how they need to play to be successful. And it's been working, you know, and the fact that, you know, they're dictating the game is huge. You know, we saw how many times last year, you know, the other team, especially like a team like the Devils, they dictated how the game was going to be played. All right. They, you know, especially in the playoffs, you know, when they started to come back, they're like, you know what? We're just going to turn and burn with this team. We're just going to absolutely kill them with speed, not give them any space to do anything. And, you know, we're going to constantly catch them off guard. And if they're not going to keep up with us, we're going to eventually, you know, find ways to score. And that's what they did. You know, where the New York Rangers now, even against quicker teams, although, you know, you can definitely tell, you know, teams that are grittier and faster than us, we are just so patient and just don't give them anything and close gaps and just play positioning. Whereas, yeah, you may outplay us, but we're going to walk away with a 0-0 in the first period. And eventually we're just going to break, you know, we're going to break out in a power play and get a power play goal because our power play is the best in the National Hockey League. And, you know, we're going to get the job done. We have great goaltending. So as long as we keep our shots to the outside and don't allow, you know, anybody to crash the net for rebounds, we're going to, you know, we're going to, you know, keep you out of the, you know, keep you out of the goal. So, yeah, it's wild to see, you know, this just like never happens, you know, for the New York Rangers, like this type of consistency. Like, and I shouldn't even say like there's been good Rangers teams over the years. Not like this, though. This is like different for sure. It feels different. It's not sexy, which I actually like. You know, it's like hard work, you know, structure, you know, energy, contribution up and down the lineup. And then the few hiccups that we have, like, you can literally pinpoint it and be like, no, like, this is why we're not working. And then when the game ends and you hear, you know, Laviolette talk about the team, and he's like, we just didn't compete in the offensive zone. We didn't fire enough shots on net. We, you know, broke down too easily in our defensive zone. Like, every little thing that you see, like, that's exactly what happens. And those games are going to happen. It's an 82 game schedule. You're not going to win every single game. So, you know, when it does, you know, break down, you kind of look how, you know, the boys respond, and that's how you judge them on. And so far they've responded, you know, the games where you think like, shit, they look like shit, they can drop the next three games just based off of who they're playing, then they go out and like they play perfect hockey against like a Boston Bruins, and they're like, yeah, no, we win that game. And it's like, how, like, where are you pulling, like, where does this consistency come from? Because I've been a New York Ranger fan a long time. Very rarely do you see consistent play like this. So yeah, Andy, you know, I have to say, you know, if you look at, you know, the successful New York Rangers teams of the past, do you agree that this kind of looks and feels different?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't think I've ever felt this way about the Rangers. I would say the year they won the President's Trophy,
even
after
that year,
going to the Cup final, it was weird. That year, I thought they looked like they dominated teams more, but at the same sense, I think I always knew in the back of my mind that there were probably teams in the National Hockey League that were ultimately, you know, that the Rangers, you know, had their flaws. But at the same time, it's like, it's weird to say that I think this is a team that when they stick to their game plan, it's pretty flawless, you know, because we look at Boston last year winning the President's Trophy, being like the winningest team in the history of the National Hockey League, and just getting bounced in the first round versus, you know, a really hot Sergei Bobrovsky and a Florida Panthers team. You know what I mean? So it's just like, I think you just know it's one, just getting in is only half the battle. And then it's kind of, it's luck, and it's, you know, there's so many other factors. So it doesn't really matter how dominant you are. But at the same time, it's just like, I think the Rangers, as long as they stick to their game plan, it's a damn good plan. It's almost like a goalie playing his percentages and just, you know, yeah, you're just going to have your breakdowns and whatever. But at the same time, it's like, it's just not, you know, for so many years, the Rangers didn't have a plan and just looked like they didn't know what to do and couldn't make corrections because they just didn't have a plan or a system, much less, you know what I mean? So now they do. And like you said, when they have their aberrations and they lose their structure and lose games from time to time, but Laviolette addresses it in the post game. He basically says what we saw as fans, which is refreshing, instead of just doing some whole thing like, you know, I like it, but they get paid to play too. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. Okay. That was the worst.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's like the longer time goes on with Laviolette, you're just like, you know, yeah, it's just like, where has this guy been my entire life? But especially when you look at the roster, because, I mean, yes, obviously the Rangers have some good players, but they have some really good players out. And I mean, this is not going to be a surprise to people. Pitlick and Bonino and Goodrow are absolute dog shit. Like, we all know this. Yes, they're good at what they do, and but at the same time, you know, it's not the type of. I think in a perfect world, they would not be getting the amount of ice time they're getting. However, they basically know what the game plan is, and they can stick to it, and they're good penalty killers. So this team rolls on, and they have excellent special teams, and they have excellent defense that can chip in offensively, and it helps kind of mitigate that. And obviously, when you get Hedl and Kako back, if you get them back, that will be a huge boon for this team. Not to mention if Chris Drury can have any pull another card out of his sleeve at the trade deadline. But yeah, that just, I think that's just more of a testament to the system and the game plan they have, and the fact that they can force feed those guys lots of minutes. And at the same time, most teams in the league that played those guys that much would probably be a shittier team in the National Hockey League, but they're good.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, those guys are professionals. I mean, Nick Bonino has won multiple cups. Gaudreau last year in the playoffs was one of our best players, so I'm not going to totally knock him. Although, you know, for the price that you're paying for him, like, could we get an upgrade? Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, Pitlick, you know, he is what he is. Like, we brought these guys in paying less than $1 million to play on the fourth line or maybe be an extra forward, and it is what it is. But at the same time, it's like, they're never the reason that we lose a hockey game. Like, the reason why we lose the hockey game is that our power play goes 0-for-5. And our top two lines, you know, decide not to show up. Yeah, and, you know, and even that's even more rare. It's just, you know, I don't even know how to describe our losses. They're just kind of like dog shit. I mean, if you look at the last one against Edmonton, it's like we just allowed them to walk into our zone. That had nothing to do with, you know, our fourth line being brutal. It had everything to do with, you know, we just stopped working in the third period, and a 1-0 goal lead wasn't enough to stop a team that, let's just be honest, you know, they're desperate for wins, they're desperate for points, and they came out against the Devils the night before and, you know, fucking took it to them in the third, and they did the exact same thing to us. And we, you know, almost crawled back there, but at the same time, you know, that's, you know, that's that, you know, it's a little too late. So, yeah, and looking at this New York Rangers team, I mean, obviously their power play bails them out a lot, but I mean, that's what good teams do. They capitalize on their opportunities. A couple things, Andy, you mentioned injuries. Obviously the Rangers have a ton of them, especially with a couple key players. One, I don't think Hedl is going to come back this season. That just does not seem good. I mean, he's skating on his own. He's not with the team. Concussions scare the shit out of me. Just now what we know about them. To me, I nothing against him. I don't even want him back, because it's just a scary thing. We're fine without him, as selfish as that may sound. I would rather him, you know, really make sure that he's 100% before we rush him back. I would imagine, if there's a chance that he comes back, it's not going to be until a month or month before maybe the playoffs. And then, you know, Kako, obviously the timeline is the timeline for him. So we know, you know, when to expect him back, maybe February. So, you know, given those two key players are going to be out, and certainly we're not missing them right now in terms of production, where do you see this team going in the near future without those two players, you know, and the trade deadline, you know, eventually coming up. So, I just want to hear your thoughts on, if you're, you know, Drury, how are you going to navigate this whole thing?
Yeah, well, we know Kako is skating again, so he'll be back, you know, probably. I would, you know, it's hard to say when, but at least he's skating. So, you know, he is on that road from what could have been really, I mean, obviously the Rangers are tight-lipped about what the injury was, but the fact that he's skating right now is a pretty good sign that he should be back sooner rather than later. But Hedl, obviously, I think we do know that the Rangers sent him to see a specialist in Michigan, which obviously means things are not great,
right,
in terms of what's going on with him. I presume, you know, he's dealt with concussion-related symptoms before, so clearly it's lingering this time. It might possibly even worse than it ever has, which is just heartbreaking. And obviously, mm-hmm, he needs to think about the quality of the rest of his life, which is unfortunate considering how promising. We just, well, he hasn't officially retired, but we know Nolan Patrick, there's been a lot of talk about whether or not he is retired. He's obviously stepped away from the game for now. And he's had a lot of concussions in her early career. And I mean, he was a guy who was slated to go first overall before the Devils kind of surprised and took Nico Hischier, you know what I mean? So just kind of shows you just it's just, yeah, it's, you never know. You might think you're penciling for a long NHL career and you just don't know. So, but yeah, I mean, in terms of that, if he doesn't come back, you know, I'm not really sure what that means for how that would affect, you know, they put him on LTIR. Obviously, it would free up the money he makes, but he doesn't make a lot of money. So obviously, you would imagine the Rangers would want some more middle six help. That's probably their, when you look at the Rangers' needs, you know, at times you would obviously maybe want to get some offensive firepower to play with Kreider and Zibanejad, although Wheeler has looked a lot better as of late. He's looked faster as the season's gone on. Obviously that top line in general has finally picked it up in the last few weeks or so. But yeah, I think obviously if you're Chris Drury, you're looking at more middle six help, especially someone who can play center or wing, who is a middle sixer. So, because you don't know what's going to happen with Hedl, if he'll be back or not. Bet the action on the ice with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the DraftKings app now and use code THPN. New customers can get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on hockey. That's code THPN, only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. The crown is yours. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPE-NEW-YORK 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for a gambling problem by calling 888-789-7777 or visiting ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. The NHL and NHL Shield are registered trademark of the National Hockey League.
Again, it's just one of those situations where you have no idea what to expect. I mean, I assume that he's not going to come back this season. You know, give it a go. Next season, if, you know, you get cleared by your doctors and you have discussion with, you know, your loved ones and just close personnel, because that's, like you said, it's more of a, you know, your expectations of how you want to live the rest of your life, you know, knowing, you know, what we now know about concussions and just the repercussions down the road that you have to deal with. So, yeah, you know, Kako obviously will be our quote unquote middle six winger when he comes back, which will be a nice addition. You know, he's more of a defensive player now than anything. You know, he's obviously not going to light it up, as we unfortunately have found out here. You know, I think it's important for the New York Rangers to get a guy, like you said, that can play center and wing. You know, a guy, I know we joke around to bring him back, but like, you know, Duclair is a perfect player, I think, for the New York Rangers. You know, I don't think they have options to bring in a really big name player. And I don't think we really need a big name player. I mean, we saw, you know, Kane and Tarasenko come in last year, and sometimes that messes with the mojo. So, you know, I don't know. The one player I think I have in mind that's other than a fresh player, maybe like a Tanner Pearson or something like that, Andy. Does that interest you a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's at least in the vein of players you could see the Rangers going after, right? Just hopefully essentially like the Tanner Pearsons, the Riley Smiths of the world, you know what I mean? Those sorts of like not superstar players by any means, but like guys who can, although granted Riley Smith is probably a better offensive player than Tanner Pearson, and whereas Tanner Pearson is probably a little bit better of a all-around, all areas of the ice player, but that sort of player, just someone who can, they can rely to fit in their system, who's going to play defense who's going to be detail oriented, but at the same time can make plays and basically do what their current crop of fourth liners and bottom sixers can't do in terms of drive play outside of Will Cooley. You know what I mean? So basically a young Barkley Goodrow is what they're sort of looking for in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Do you think that they'll mess with any of the mojo trading a guy like Bonino? Or, I mean, I can see Bonino becoming maybe the odd man out.
Yeah. I think I don't know if they would trade him, but because I think they would like the depth of having him available, especially because he doesn't make any money, but right. I think he would be the guy, you know, which is interesting because obviously they have such a good PK and you don't want to mess with it too bad. But Bonino is the guy who you would move because he just, you know, I mean, honestly, for me, it's either him or Goodrow, but obviously Goodrow carries a little bit more of an aura in that locker room. So you kind of almost it would probably hurt them more to take him out.
Yeah,
he's such a leader for them.
And Goodrow was good last playoffs. Like for what
he was. He is a gamer in the playoffs. He's a guy that the road miles are really starting to show for me. You know what I mean? I mean, it doesn't help right now. He's literally wearing that bubble, but and he's gotten slower every game I've seen him since he's gotten here. So, you know, sometimes you just worry about it's gonna cost you. But Bonino would probably be the odd one out. I have to say, though, I mean, we only have had a few games of Adam Edstrom, but he looked great. Yeah. You know, I kind of want to see more Adam Edstrom in the NHL.
I mean, he's a big boy, and, you know, obviously it's nice to skate. Yeah, it's nice to see a guy that, like, you know, comes up here and kind of, you know, fits seamlessly, you know, from what we saw. But, you know, and I think coming up into this team is pretty good. As long as you can grasp the structure and you're an intelligent hockey player, I think you're going to be fine. You know, given that this team is very X's and O's and position oriented, and you know, if you're a young player coming up and you know you're not looking to, you know, listen, we already have Panarin, we already have Zibanejad, we already have those guys. Like, your job is to play and eat up minutes, 10 to 12 minutes a game. And, you know, those guys, you know, can make or break a hockey team. And, you know, if that's what you come in and concentrate on doing and you're effective at it, you know, shit, you're going to see a little bit more playing time. So it's nice to see a player like that step up and be successful. And I feel like every player that, you know, obviously Brzezinski's not really, you know, a guy that you call up, but, you know, every single player that they've needed and come up so far has been successful. Like, have you thought of a player that's like come up here and you're like, oh boy, they don't belong? I mean, Jones is the only one, but we all know what he is. You know, he's an undersized defenseman, and when he's playing, unfortunately, that means, you know, one of our big guns are out, and you know, he's usually stuck on a pair with Schneider, and those two can get lost at times. So I don't even blame him.
Yeah,
but forward wise, especially.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think that was Hartford was literally I don't even know why it existed for the Rangers for so long, considering they didn't pay any attention to it and use it like other teams. I mean, Tampa's back-to-back championships are basically built on turning their AHL team into a factory of usable bottom and middle six players. You know what I mean? Or at least a developing league for their heavy hitters before they're ready for the spotlight. But Chris Drury was the assistant general manager to Jeff Gorton, and he was the general manager of the Hartford Wolfpack. So clearly he's really invested a lot of time and resources there. It's definitely more synergy throughout the Rangers and their AHL team. And I think it really shows, you know what I mean? So obviously Chris Knobloch getting the nod for the Oilers gig. I mean, I think it's mostly the familiarity with McDavid, but it's also because he's been a good coach there. You know what I mean? So, I think that's, you know, that's a testament to Chris Drury. And also we basically knew that the Rangers made an edict of drafting players with more gamesmanship a little bit more, especially that they had been burned with the Elias Andersons and the Kraftsovs of the world. Not that I think Elias Anderson lacked gamesmanship or whatever. I just don't think he had NHL talent, but you know what I mean? I think it just, the Rangers are clearly have drafted a lot of these guys like Sikora and Berard and Othman, and you know, they just have a bunch of guys playing in their system who are who can fill that role, and not only fill that role, but not be more than just like a warm body. Actually, when they come up, get a call up for a cup of coffee, instead of thinking about surviving their time in the NHL, they think like, I'm going to try to do something or make a difference. So, and I think that's that's a testament to a lot of the overhaul this organization has done, because they've had a lot of stuff to kind of messes to clean up. And I think for the most part, they've really done a good job getting back on that, back on track, like other modern NHL clubs.
Yeah. And, you know, the kind of segue, you know, obviously there's some Rangers prospects playing in the World Juniors. Have you gotten a chance to catch any of those games?
Yeah, no, I've watched a few. I didn't get to watch most of the routes of, you know, like I caught some of Canada, and was that Denmark today, or was that Latvia? I think it was Latvia, but that was pretty much a route. But you know, watching Macklin Celebrini, God, he's going to be so good. You know, you hope to God that the Blackhawks don't end up with Bedard and Celebrini, or else that'll be it for, you know, in 5 years for essentially most of the league. But, you know, USA is the team to beat. The Rangers are lucky to have two players in Gabe Perreault and Drew Fortescue on that team. Adam Sikora is the captain of the the Slovakia team, who won their first game, I think 5-1. He had an assist in the game. So yeah, I've been watching, and it should be good. Germany beat Finland for the first time ever, I think.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's just, Germany keeps getting better and better as a hockey country. You know, the DEL is a pretty good league, and obviously we see more and more between Dreisaitl and Moritz Seider, and you know, we're seeing more and more NHL quality talent emerge from Germany. So that's it's really cool. So yeah, it's been fun watching so far. Trying to catch more of it this year. I just re-upped my VPN subscription so I can watch more with less headaches. So that's been good. But yeah, I mean, obviously it's nice, especially when have vested interest in Team USA, because A, they're USA, and you have two players playing for them. That's as your favorite team. It's that's added incentive.
No, for sure. And, you know, I don't owe you your knowledge of prospects and just the younger talent, you know, in this tournament, obviously, is way more than mine. This tournament for me, I mean, just coming this time of year, you know, the transition into the new year, and just, you know, I feel like over the last couple seasons, the New York Rangers have had key prospects, and, you know, just watching them be successful just shows you that, you know, as they move on to the next level, you know, the AHL, it just like it coincides with, you know, how the New York Rangers now are finally starting to build something, you know, in their farm system. And it's not just about where they draft players, it's getting key players later in the draft and having those talents work out, you know, in your favor has been, you know, been really good and really nice to see that, you know, the Rangers aren't just, you know, if we don't draft top 10, we're never going to get a good prospect. You know, it's just, it can come later in the round, you know, later in the first round or later in the draft. And yeah, it's just, you know, I'm pumped for this tournament, obviously rooting for USA, but you know, it's fun to watch, you know, a lot of these teams like Germany and stuff like that have success too. And Drew Fortescue, just also a local kid from New York, Rangers third round pick, you know, from Pearl River, New York. It's awesome. I mean, I can't imagine what that kid is feeling right now. You know, just being a New York Ranger in that system and then getting to play in this tournament and just having the success that he's had. Yeah, just awesome. You got anything else, Andy?
Yeah, I had a question for you. I'm going around the league and I'm looking at scores, and I see that at the end of two periods, the Detroit Red Wings are down to the Minnesota Wild by a score of 2-1. Let's say they don't make the playoffs. Do you think Patrick Kane's looking to stay and see if it goes right the next season, or do you think he's going to say, I'm basically the whole point of leaving Chicago is to be on a contending team?
Oh, man. That's a good question. I feel like there's almost layers to that one. I would have to say that I would hope that Detroit had this conversation with him prior to signing him. You would think they would.
Well, I guess I think it would be a win-win for Detroit. Well, not a win-win because obviously they want to make the playoffs, but I think they still know they're rebuilding. And at the very least, Kane does not look washed. He's been probably arguably their best player since he's joined them. Yet they lose, which begs a lot of questions. Why is that? Is it him? I know it's weird to say because they're winning, but do they change the way they play because of him and they're trying to force more offense? Whatever. Doesn't matter. But that being said, I mean, if they sign him, he looks kind of like the old Patrick Kane, and they can then trade him for an asset to a team that he gets say on. That might be a win-win for all parties involved, right?
Yeah, I mean, from a management standpoint, yeah, that's a no-brainer. I definitely move Patrick Kane, especially. But this is the thing. Like, I would have had this conversation with him and said, listen, let's be honest here. We're not a team that's going to be finishing at the top of the standings. If things turn sour and, you know, we start to fall off here towards the deadline, are you comfortable with being moved? You know, and I don't know. Does he have, like, a no-trade clause or anything like that?
That's a good question.
I don't even know anything about his contract, to be honest, except for the amount of money he's making, which, you know, means nothing.
Detroit is the top trending team on cap friendly. So I feel like a lot of people like me are having this question, probably watching this game. He's signed for one season anyway. So UFA. I don't see. Does he have? He has an he's got an NTC. He's got no trade clause,
which we all know he could waive at any point.
Yeah, he could waive if there's a team that he likes.
Yeah, listen,
and I feel like if Detroit could get something for him, I mean, unless he's like they're like we liked how you played and we think we could be better next year and we want to just re-sign you for next year. But at the same time, what's to stop them from saying, all right, just go Steven, get a cup with another team and then come, we'll resign you again next year. And then we get extra assets.
I mean, listen, if I'm Patrick Kane, I'm all about it. Like,
well, we also know the Rangers were his first choice and Drury said something to the effect of, we don't have the money. Or that's what they essentially told him in his camp, even though it might've been, they just weren't looking to do that again, but he does look like a much improved player. I will say that, at least in how he seems to move around and offensively, but he's always had pretty good chemistry with DeBrincat. So there's that. Would you be interested in a Patrick Kane reunion? Do you think he fits this new system or do you think it would just be a step away from what's made the Rangers successful this year? And if it sounds like if it sounds like I'm leading you with that wording, it's because I am.
Oh God, I really depends on how he does. And as of right now,
he was the third star of the week last week.
Yeah, I still say no because he did that same shit last year, and we don't know if he's just excited to be back. He's fresh. I want to see the wear and tear on that hip. I want to see the grind of the NHL season under his belt a little bit here. As of right now, I'd say no. I don't take that risk because I still think you're gambling, and he's fresh. When this is a brutal time right now for a lot of these teams with injuries, and he is a guy that's coming out of surgery fresh and energized and just relieved that he finally found a team that was going to take an opportunity with him. And listen, he may in the back of his mind say, listen, I got a no trade clause for a reason because I want to dictate where I go in the future. He might have communicated that to the Detroit Red Wings. So he might play his ass off knowing that this is a tryout for him to potentially get, moved at the deadline. If he keeps this up, it's hard to say that you wouldn't take him because, we need right wing depth. I would rather a guy a little bit quicker. I'd rather get two pieces, for his cost than just him. Because realistically, what is he going to bring? Like, 5-on-5, are his numbers really going to be that great? I don't know. And, like, I know we need right wing depth, but we are getting Kako back. So I would imagine, you know, Wheeler has been fine. He's kind of that old bum you have on the right side. I don't know. I just feel like he doesn't fit the mold. I'd rather, like you said, a guy that can play center and wing, maybe bring a little bit of speed, like, you know, Pearson, a guy with a scoring touch that we know, you know, can score goals in, you know, Duclair, you know, someone along those lines. I would take that risk and bring in a couple of them before I bring in a Patrick Kane. I mean, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I feel essentially the same way that you do. I think, you know, as I'm looking up to see how much longer Yanni Gord is signed for, Laviolette would want him. No, I think I think Laviolette seems like the type, unlike Turk, who has a lot of opinions, or like Mike Keane and used to just badgering the GM about who they want. I feel like Laviolette is very much I'll do the coaching, you do the GMing, and you know, you if you just keep restocking my paint set, I'll paint you a nice picture, you know what I mean? So if it's Kane, he'd find a way to use him. If it's another bottom six guy, find a way to use him. I do wonder about the defense, obviously, because as good as the Rangers' defense is heralded as, it's, I don't know. I mean, well, it's tough because who would sit? I don't think they're going to sit Schneider at this point now, especially because I thought he started the season pretty rough, but I've really liked him the last, his last 2 weeks. He's been pretty good. When he's not with Jones, he looks pretty good, you know?
Right. And you're not going to get rid of Gustafson.
No. I mean, Gustafson, after starting off amazingly, he's kind of, he was having a rough go of it towards the basically leading up to Christmas, which shows why he maybe bounces around a lot, but he's still a net positive. You know what I mean? He can make good plays with the puck, and him and Schneider seem to work pretty well together. So, yeah, I think that's the thing. You know, maybe they make a trade only in case someone goes down, who, if they're a little bit more comfortable with than Zach Jones in the playoffs, if that makes any sense.
Well, if you told me, the thing is though, it depends on who we bring in. Like, I'm done with like these old slow veteran defensemen that have no ability to move the puck. Now, if you told me we went out and we got another seventh defenseman, but it's, you know, maybe a 25-year-old that, you know, I don't know, just that, you know, with a little bit of experience, he's nothing great. If you told me that, I would be more interested in that than you know, a 38-year-old, you know, God knows, like a Mark, you know, not, I'm just saying, Mark Stahl, you know, esque player that, like, yeah, he's got experience, but like, come on, let's face it. Like, come playoff time, we need someone with a little bit more juice. And I don't really care at that point. You know, I don't care about longevity and, you know, him being a professional. I'd rather a guy that, you know, yeah, he's got some NHL experience, but, you know, he's a little younger, got a little bit more juice. Maybe he's, you know, a little quick on his feet. Yeah, if you told me that, well, let me ask you another question. Given, you know, take Hedl out of this and say Kako does come back, and the Rangers, you know, could really improve defensively, or someone, you know, on the offensive side of the puck, what would you pick first? Like, if you were able to bring in a very good defenseman where Schneider's definitely sitting, or bring in a middle six forward that you're like, man, this guy's legit, what would you be more comfortable in bringing in?
It's tough. I just think the Nate Rangers need more 5-on-5 punch ultimately. I think their team defense is good enough where, and yes, there's an argument to be made that having a puck moving defenseman can really help your 5-on-5. But I just, watching this game tonight, that the fourth line, there was just a lot of drop passes to nobody, just clearly not having the ability to buy time and space for themselves, and just the Rangers not possessing the puck as much as a result. So I really think a versatile middle six forward who drives play in the right direction, maybe isn't a superstar goal scorer by any means, but, you know, I think they need essentially a 40 to 50 point guy who can play center and right wing in a, you know, if possible.
Well, I mean, I know I keep saying it, but Duclair is out there.
Yeah.
And he's very, very available and he's very cheap. And you saw him score goals just a couple of years ago.
Yeah. And he was in the Stanley Cup final last year.
Yeah. And a huge piece of that team.
And he's like one of the bright spots on a really, really shitty team. And it would complete the circle. I've said this many times. So
yeah.
I would love, well, I'm you've heard here, folks, me and James, we're going to bring him home. We'll bring the Duke back to New York.
I mean, listen, I feel it was tough losing him, but the excitement of getting Yandle was obviously cool.
Yeah.
But it's time for him to come home.
I agree.
So you want to end there?
Yeah, let's end there. I mean, we thank you, everybody. So happy to be back. So happy to be back together on this podcast. We hope you all were very good and got all the gifts you deserved, or got some gifts even if you only deserve coal. We hope you, I guess the next time we, because what, New Year's Day is Monday or Tuesday?
The January 1st is a Monday.
All right. So we might see you. You might listen to us again on New Year's Day. I'm not sure yet. Depends on, you know, what, how late I'm, James and I are ringing in the new year. But thank you so much for making it through 2023 with us. And we're looking forward to 2024. And by all accounts, it looks like the Rangers are also looking forward, as they seem to start off on just the right foot.
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Boys podcast. Be sure to follow us on X at Broadway Boys Pod, and please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.